Well, the last time we were together, we were teaching on Mountain Moving Faith, which is just the regular kind of faith. There's no special, it's not a special faith. It's how Jesus was, one of the things that Jesus taught his disciples about faith. And it was faith to speak to this mountain. And he talked about it. He said, if, and dealt with the areas of believing your heart and not doubting. So we were specifically looking at what the Scripture says where faith is. And it says that last week we were looking because of faith being of the heart. We had read in Mark 11:23, where Mark 11:23 spoke specifically, and Jesus talked about faith, and he said he doesn't doubt in his heart. He didn't say doubt in the mind. And we were talking about the heart last week, the last time we met. It's not dealing with the physical heart. You know, sometimes I remember about a year or two ago, a minister, major ministry on TV, and the minister was doing this teaching on the heart. And he had a thing of like a physical heart on the stage, and he was showing it and talking about believing in the heart was actually talking about believing with your physical heart. Well, that'd be an impossibility. Your physical heart's an organ in your body. That's like, you know, saying I can believe with my liver. You know, it's talking. You know, the word heart used in the scriptures concerning dealing with believing in things is not dealing with any from a physical things. Just like, you know, the word heart in its usage doesn't mean just a physical organ of the body. One, the term used of heart is talked about. You know, many times like people see the heart of a problem or heart of this speaking the central thing about something, and. So the physical heart, from the standpoint, it's not talking about that. You can't believe with that, but it's talking about the human spirit. And we looked last week, dealing with the areas of the heart, about believing from the heart. The Bible tells us, with the heart, man believes unto righteousness. So we believe, in other words, believing from the heart, not believing from the mind. It's one of the problems that people deal with, or people are usually. They don't recognize really their inward man, because we talked about where Peter talked about the hidden man of the heart and dealing with the hidden man. In other words, the real us. Paul talked about dying, and Paul made this statement and said he would rather depart and be with Christ, which was far better. He was talking about he was going to departing. He was departing, but he wasn't talking about physically departing. His body would have been left here in the earth. When Paul died, his body was left in the earth. He said, but he left. The real him left. So it was the hidden person, this hidden man, the inside. In other words, it's the part of us that you can't see. And just because you can't see it, it don't make it mean it isn't as real. In fact, the spirit man is more real. The body we live in is a temporal body. It's temporal. And so you're temporarily in this earth in a house. In fact, the Apostle Paul wrote and called the body a house. Your human body, he called it no more than a house. It's the house where you live in, where the real you lives in, is this body. And so when we're believing with this inward man, this man on the inside. And you need to have to differentiate the two, because if you can't, this is where the great struggle of people dealing with the areas of faith. Most people, and even most Christians, faith is of the mind for them. Faith is mostly based on what goes on around them, what they can see, touch, taste, and smell. They determine whether the Word of God. People reason to what the Word of God means based upon the natural things around them. And this is one of the things that we have to, if we don't differentiate between these, the inner man and the outer man, is where faith comes from. Is Jesus said, if the person in Mark 11:23, concerning the mountain moving, he said, if he doesn't doubt in his heart, but believes that the things he says will come to pass. And what we want to speak, faith is really, we believe with the heart, and then we speak it with our mouth, what's in our heart, not what's in your head. Speaking what's in your head, even though it could be a correct thing to say, will still produce nothing. The power to produce something from God is to speak what's in your heart, not in what's your head. You could sit down and say the words of the Bible out loud, you know, just because you're saying them out loud doesn't mean it's producing anything. If it's not coming from your own spirit, it produces nothing. The power of the human, or the life of the human, is in the spirit. And so, you know, we need to, you know, this is the real thing that people need to grab a hold of. We talk about the Holy Spirit dwells in us. He lives in us. Well, how does He live in us? He lives in us. He lives in our spirit. Spirit beings, you know, that's where we're like God because we're spirit beings. The Bible says that God is a spirit. Now, when God created man, whom God is a spirit, he said, I'm going to make man in my image. Well, he couldn't have been talking about the physical body. It's an impossibility. He couldn't have been talking about that. He didn't have a physical body. So creating man like himself, he made his man just like he is, an eternal spirit. Every human spirit, whether a person is born again or not, is eternal. You know, people think about, you know, they talk about eternal life. Eternal life does not mean living forever. That is not eternal life. It has nothing to do with that. Every human spirit, whether born again or not, lives forever. It's an eternal, it's every spirit, human spirit, is eternal. Eternal life spoken of in the New Testament, eternal life means the God kind of life. It's having God's life. And they interpreted it as eternal life. But really, it doesn't mean eternal life. It means the life of God. In other words, our spirits, when a person gets born again, they're born after the nature of God. Our spirit is. The Holy Spirit communes with our spirit and is in unity with our spirit. And he's not in unity with our body. He's in unity with our spirit. So when the Holy Spirit reveals things to us, He reveals them to our spirit. Our spirit communes with our spirit. The Holy Spirit doesn't commune with your mind. You don't commune with your mind. He communes with your inner man, your spirit. And that's why it's like so many people, you go along in Christianity, you talk about God speaking to people, that many people, you know, there's many in Christianity. I've had ministers say, well, I don't believe God talks to you. Well, if God don't talk to you, well, sure, because I can tell you about those ministers. I'm not being derogatory about it. They have no sense that they're a spirit being. They're just a physical being. And the only communications they could have with God was through their minds, because that's what their Christianity is, mental. They don't believe God talks, because I don't hear a physical voice talking to me. Well, that ain't how you hear from God. Now, God could speak in an audible voice, but 10 to 1, He's not going to. But He's communing all the time with your spirit. The Holy Spirit is inside of us. If the Holy Spirit, who is God, doesn't speak, then what's He doing in us? What's the point? There's no purpose for Him even being there. Well, if He's not revealing the truth, how's He communing with us? And so we need to understand those things. One of the things we want to look at, because dealing over in the sense realm, is we see with, I'm going to read from John, the 20th chapter. We want to look over at Thomas, because we're going to look here at the incident with Thomas. Jesus, after He was raised from the dead, He appeared to some of the disciples, in fact, to most of them, and Thomas wasn't there at the time that He appeared. And the other disciples had told Thomas that Jesus was raised from the dead. And Thomas makes a statement in the 20th chapter, and I'm going to start reading it. Verse 24, it says, now Thomas called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said to Him, we have seen the Lord. So He said to them, unless I see in His hands the print of the nails, and put my fingers into the print of the nails, and put my hand into His side, I will not believe. Now, the statement that He made here. In other words, His believing is mental believing. It's based on what He can see with the eye. It's based upon the senses, the human senses. I'm going to believe if I can see Jesus with my eye. I'm going to believe if I can put my finger into the prints of His nails and I can actually stick my hand into His side. In other words, what I feel with my physical senses and what I see with my physical eyes, that's my faith. That's what Thomas said. Thomas said, I won't believe unless that happens. So, surely we know what Thomas wasn't paying much attention to what Jesus said when he's in Mark 11:23, did he? He didn't pay much attention to that. It said, after 8 days, His disciples were again inside and Thomas with Him. Jesus came to the door, being shut, stood in the midst and said, peace to you. Then He said to Thomas, now here He is. He knows all about Thomas. He wasn't even there, but He knows about Thomas. He says, reach your finger here. He said, look at my hands. Reach your hand here and put it into my side. Do not be unbelieving, but believe. And then he said, and then Thomas answered and said to him, my Lord and my God. In other words, now that I touched and everything, I believe it now. But listen to what Jesus says to him. Jesus said to him, Thomas, because you have seen me, you have believed. Jesus said, blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe. The blessed people, the ones, Thomas, in other words, he didn't say, Thomas, you're blessed. He didn't tell Thomas he was blessed. He said, now, Thomas, the people who are blessed are the ones who don't see. They don't rely on their natural senses. They believe. They believe what the Word says. See, you know, the other disciples, now think about this in Thomas. I mean, Thomas must have got really pretty stupid when Jesus died, because from a spiritual standpoint, he's walked with Jesus for 3.5 years. And Jesus dies on the cross. The rest of the 11 disciples come to him and say, and the 10 disciples come and say, we saw the Lord. I won't believe it. He thinks they're all liars. I don't believe you. All you guys I've been walking with all this time, you're all liars. Thomas was quite a trip. He sure wasn't easy on the believing side, for sure. But see, he's walking. Now, think of this. This shows you, Thomas had walked with the Lord for 3.5 years, and he's really not much of a man of faith at all. He has not learned in 3.5 years, only believes what he sees. He's still what? Oh, yeah. But he's only, all these things that Jesus taught and said, he has not really believed it. Up to this point, Thomas hasn't hardly believed a thing. He only believes what he can see. He only believes what he can feel. And only believes what he can touch. That's his reality around him. See, that's why, as over the years, I've found that most people say, like, oh, I believe the Bible. I know from their life they don't believe the Bible, because basically they live, they make their decisions based upon what they see and what they feel around them. And I said, you know, they say, oh, I know what the Bible says, this. Yes, that's true. But that isn't what they live. They live something else. Because why? Their reality to them is through their senses. And it's living like things are true. Faith is living and acting upon the Word of God being true. Thomas not believing, you know, what the Word said, not believing those things. So he's over here walking. And this is how you get, in such unbelief. Thomas didn't become like this overnight just because Jesus' death. Thomas had become like this because he's been living like this the whole time. This doesn't just happen overnight. All of a sudden, a person goes from walking by faith, and all of a sudden, overnight, okay, just chucks it all out. Now I'm not, walking by faith. This is a few days, like 3 days later, all of a sudden, Thomas, Mr. Faith, 3 days later, he don't believe a thing. But Thomas has been doing this thing for a time, for a long time. He's been walking in this area. And so he wasn't believing in what God had said. He hadn't been walking by faith. So, but we find here the people that are blessed are the ones who don't see and yet believe. So, believing, seeing is not believing. Seeing is not believing. In fact, from a natural standpoint today, you can't go seeing is believing. I remember reading an article back, this must be 4 or 5 years ago. I was reading a guy who was retired from the FBI. He was talking about the government being able to take photographs and alter them. And they have, software that they can alter them, and you can't tell that they've ever been doctored. And he said it's a very dangerous thing that they're dealing with, because he said they can make all kind of things look like they're real, and it ain't. So he said they could turn around and have you doing something, and it ain't, it wasn't you. And they said, you can't prove it. So seeing is no longer believing in the natural. And the more and more they can do things. So, but we find out here, and we're going to be talking about faith in the Word of God, but we see what Thomas was totally moved from the standpoint of by his senses. Now, we had read before and used these scriptures and looking and teaching in faith, but I want to go back, go again into the book of Romans, to the 4th chapter, because we want to see the difference between Abraham and Thomas, of what, comparing the two here on what took place. And we'll see the difference in the 4th chapter of the book of Romans. I'm going to start at verse 17, because I don't want to go down and read too much of it here. But it says, in verse 17, this is Abraham, and it says, speaking about Abraham, it says, as it is written, says, I have made you the father of many nations. And that's what God had said. That was the promise that God had made to Abraham. He said, in the presence of him whom he believed, God, he said, who gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as though they did. Now he says, who contrary to hope in hope believe, so that he became the father of many nations to what was spoken, so shall your descendants be. Now, in other words, God had spoken something to him. Abraham could not see it, could not feel it, could not touch it, but he believed it. Why? Because God said it. So God made a statement. Abraham believed it contrary to what he could see, contrary to what he could touch or feel. It goes on to say, and not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body already dead since he was about 100 years old, and the deadness of Sarah's womb. So in other words, the woman that he touched, his own body that he touched, his own 100-year-old body that he felt, he didn't believe those things. He believed what God said. They didn't become, even though he knew that his body was old and those things, I mean, he could sure feel it, but he didn't accept that as his faith. What he accepted is what God said. That's what he took as his truth, or what he believed was so. So is contrary to all the natural hope, what naturally he could produce, he didn't consider that. The only hope that he had was in the promise of God and what God had said. So dealing in the areas of faith, he's only looking at what God says about things, what God has spoken. And so Abraham wasn't moved. It says he did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God. So he wasn't moved about anything from the natural standpoint. In other words, whatever his senses told him did not move him. He believed that God's word was true, what God said God was going to do. And so we know, too, is by his actions and the things that he did concerning his what he believed, what he walked in. So Abraham didn't believe, you know, his physical body or the senses of his body, what it told him. So he did. The physical senses didn't move him concerning Sarah, his wife. He believed only what the word of God has said. So we need to understand this. When we concerning the word of God, whatever the word of God says, and the Bible says, talks about all the promises of God are yes and amen in Christ Jesus. We look at the word of God and what the word of God says. We need to accept that as being true. Is that our truth? Is that what we're really going to believe? So hard faith is believing God's word in your inner man. That's what it is, on your inner man. You're believing. And we need to, a person, or the real us that's on the inside, is believing something which cannot be touched or felt. See, we have the ability to do this. See, one of the real problems we deal with today is from an educational standpoint. We've been over-educated in many ways because we're just become so much intellectualized that we're trying to figure everything out. And what happens if you do that, you really close off your inner man and never pay any attention to him. And, you know, is if we take the science world today, like they only believe, you know, they say we only believe what we see, yet they come out with the most outrageous theories you've ever heard in your life. I mean, some of the theories that they have out here that they're running, I mean, they're so illogical, they don't even fit any of science at all, even their own science. But they dream it up, and because they do, they say, "Ah, yeah, these things." But yet on the other side, they say, "Well, we only believe what we can see. We have to have proof. Somebody else comes along, you got to have proof." Yet they have no proof; they just come along with it. And but we're dealing in the areas of faith. We're talking about our inner man, this spirit, is believing something that our senses may tell us something else. Dealing with your senses might tell you something else. So, it takes no faith to believe at all what you can see or feel. It doesn't take any faith for that. See, Thomas had no faith. It didn't take any faith to actually, when Jesus appeared, to walk up and touch him. It took no faith to feel his hand, to stick your finger in the hole in his nail print, or stick his hand. That didn't require any faith. There's no faith involved in that. I mean, The Bible says it's New Testament. Why would you believe? Why would you want to have faith for what you can see? Well, that would be stupid. Well, so see, Thomas, we know, when the Lord told Thomas to be believing, don't be unbelieving, he wasn't telling him to now believe because you see. He's telling him, you know, knock this stuff off you're doing here. What are you doing, bud? Don't be like that. Say, for him, the standpoint, I believe now. Well, big deal. Just think, I mean, if everybody operated like Thomas did, you know, there wouldn't be any born again people. Nobody ever got born again because nobody ever used faith. Everybody had to see Jesus. No, he has to appear to everybody. Nobody had ever got born again. Oh, thank God. So if you ever think about maybe your faith isn't so good, think about Thomas. He was a bit of a mess. So it doesn't take any faith to believe with your senses of what you see or what you feel. So faith will work. Understand this. Faith in your heart will work even though you have doubt in your mind. Really, you figure people need to know, because what they're dealing with are natural senses and their thoughts and their mind and things that come on. You can operate out of your heart, and you can have, you know, your mind may not be settled on the fact that something's true. But the Bible talks about, see, there is that mind of the flesh the Bible talks about, and talks about the mind of the spirit. There's two minds running. Most people are tied to the mind of the flesh. That's where they're tied. Now, it's there. I don't care how spiritual you get. You have the mind of the flesh. You have over here where your flesh actually has a way of thinking and a way of reasoning about things and looking at things. There's also the mind of the Spirit. And it's not talking about the mind of the Holy Spirit. It's talking about the mind of your own human spirit. And your own, and that's what you have to learn, to be able to know the difference between the two. If you don't learn that, you're going to always have a very difficult time dealing in the areas of faith. It's not hard to do. It's just becoming conscious. You have to first become conscious of being a spirit being. And you become a conscious of it by believing what the Bible says about it and saying that rather than talking the natural side all the time. Start to talking about yourself. Start saying the right things. Start speaking the right stuff concerning things of faith. And that's why, you know, we deal with the areas. In Mark 11:23, they're not doubting in your heart. So what you believe in your heart and say with your mouth can come to pass even if you have doubt in your minds. The doubt in your mind, see, this is repeat. If a person doesn't understand about the doubt in the mind thing, that's where Satan will come around and beat you every time. Every time he'll lick you in that spot. Every time he'll win. Because you'll get doubt in your mind and he'll come along and he'll tell you, well, you ain't believing. If you're believing, you wouldn't be doubting this. You wouldn't be. And get you and see what a person does. A person who mostly yields to the senses immediately goes over there. Yep, that's true. And Satan will bring things to a stop. Many times, in a person they're believing, you can believe on the inside. I know, like many times, because you go through things, because around you have so many things going on. They're operating against the direction that you're going, and if you let that those things become the thing you watch all the time, and that becomes, you know, you keep your focus on that all the time, you're going to have a very difficult time standing. You've got to learn to be able to look on the inside. I've learned over time, you know, I can believe something and walk along, and all the circumstances can be going the opposite direction. But I can still tell you what I believe. As we go on here, we'll talk about some things that'll help you in that area. In Proverbs 3:5 says, trust the Lord with all your heart. Your heart is your spirit. That's the inner man, the real you. It says, what? And lean not on your own understanding. Trust the Lord. Don't lean on your heart. Trust the Lord in your heart and don't lean on your own understanding. You know, you don't have to understand things to believe them, that they're true. You don't have to understand them, you know. They get people afraid of nuclear radiation, and most people don't have a clue what it is or what it really does or how it works or whatever. They don't know. But yet they believe it and they're scared of it. You don't have to understand things. You can accept things as true. I don't have to know everything, how the electronics in my car works to drive my car. I get in or stick the key fob in that thing and I drive away and I don't think about it at all. And his computers are doing a million things in there. And I don't have to understand it to make it work. But somehow when it comes to God, people, the devil's got everybody believing. You have to figure it all out in your mind. And so they stay in unbelief. I don't have to understand things to believe them. I can believe things. I can believe God is who he says he is. I want to meet the man that can really understand God. I want to get to that person. I mean, I can't have no clue of somebody that could absolutely know everything and somebody who has always existed, always has, and will exist all the time in the future. I can't even grasp that. I can't grasp no beginning. I mean, I can't even imagine seeing back. Where do you go to? Always existed. I don't understand it. Somebody tells me they understand it. Well, we'll have an altar call for a liar. You don't understand it. You don't understand it. But I believe it's true. The Bible says so. You know, what's the point of me trying to believe in him as God if I believe he's a liar and he didn't always exist? There's no point in me even trying to believe in God. I ain't going to go nowhere with my faith in him because I don't believe he's true. So we can accept time. Many times we can accept things. And we can. There is a believing in the heart that, and especially when you believe in the heart, you're able to grasp certain things you can't get a hold of or reason out with the mind. But with the heart, you know it's true. But in your mind, it's not explainable. And so we're supposed to trust in the Lord with all our heart. We're not supposed to lean to our own understanding. Our own understanding deals with, it really, from the natural human senses. So you'll have, you know, trouble trusting God with your mind. Says your mind is, you're going to have to go to the things of over time. You can renew your mind, and your mind can be renewed, but I mean that's going to always be a process that's always going on, is renewing the mind. That is a constant thing that we're going to go through, is doing to renew your mind. You're going to always have to be doing that, because your mind is every, you know, you get revelations from God, you get understanding from God, things that will come to you that are new, you're going to have to turn around and train and begin to renew your mind into that way of thinking if you want your mind to be able to cooperate with what's in your heart. Because you get a revelation, you see things, and you're always going to have to get, because your mind is going to always need to be renewed to new things. It's going to always have to be changed in a way of thinking to cooperate with the inner man. You want it to do that. The more you do is you learn how to train your mind, it is helpful to you, because you're going to have less trouble with things dealing, with your senses operating against you. Because your senses, your body is going to feel things and see things and say things and to you, and your body's going to look at things in certain ways. You're going to have to, if you don't renew your mind, what happens is your unrenewed mind and your body team up against your inner man. And you don't want that, because that just makes it worse on you. That becomes harder to deal with. As you renew your mind, the more and more, and especially, the more the more you learn to walk in line with the Word, the more even your body will become accustomed to heading in certain directions and doing certain things, and your body no longer gets fearful doing it. If you're a person who never likes to, always, you never like to deal with any things that are uncomfortable, you're always going to have trouble with your faith. Because you're never going to get your body to accept things. I mean, when I started off doing some things, I mean, it was some of the things that I stood through from a standpoint and did. Most people would consider it crazy, and my flesh and my unrenewed mind gave me a hard time, but I stood on the Word of God, and people say, you're crazy, you know. I even had ministers and stuff, people say, you know, well, you need to use wisdom, and what they were telling me is you need to be a little bit more unbelief. You're getting out there too. But you have to learn to stay. If the Word of God's true, you're going to have to make a stand through it. You're going to have to learn to come to that point. Say, well, here I am. You know, it's one of the things that I found out about divine healing. I mean, there's some things sometimes comes along. You're going to have to stand, and you're going to have to stand sometime for divine healing sometime, or you can do something natural. But you ain't going to ever learn about divine healing always going to the natural. You'll never learn it. I'm sorry. I mean, it just doesn't work. You learn because, I mean, when I first started off, my flesh was very uncomfortable with going in those directions. And it would give me a very hard time. But I had to learn over time to not pay attention to my flesh and learn it in my heart. Listen to what's on the inside. And if you will learn to listen on the inside, when you come into those times, when you get in those difficult situations, I've never had, even from the time as a young Christian, where God didn't speak to me at times when things were under pressure, where God didn't speak to me and reveal things to me to help me stand. And that's why you want to learn to listen to your spirit. If you're a person who backs off quickly, there's no need to hear from God. You don't need to hear from God if you're not going to make a stand. You don't need to hear. There's no point to it. you need to hear when you're making a stand. And so learn to walk in the light of that. Learn to walk in the light of the Word. If the Word of God says something, learn to walk in the light of that. Now, what I want to talk about here now is dealing with an area because of dealing with faith specifically and walk in the areas of faith. If we look at Hebrews in the first chapter, Hebrews the 11th chapter in the first verse. Hebrews in the 11th chapter deals with the areas of faith, and some Bibles call it the Hall of Faith and different ones. But I want you to look at something where it starts off. There's a statement made. I remember when I first heard the teachings in areas of faith with Kenneth E. Hagin. He had made this statement in Hebrews the 11th chapter in verse 1, where it says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." And I remember him making the statement. He says, "Now this is now faith is." And he made this statement. He said, "Faith is always in the now." Or in other words, faith is always present tense. This is one thing you can learn. If you understand this and gain this, you'll understand. Faith is always present tense. And if you, I explain what we're talking about is present tense, because if you don't understand this, you will never really walk by faith much. You won't walk by faith much. You have to understand that faith, from our part, not from God's part, from our part. Now listen, there's always the God side of things and the man side. You know, churches and that stuff that like one people I grew up around in and religion and different ones, even today. Many people put over, well, you know, they put everything over to God's side. And we need to understand it. It isn't. There's two sides in this thing. There's the man's side and there's a God's side. There's a part that we must do and then there's a part that God does. We need to understand the faith side over here, this believing in your heart and saying with your mouth, that's man's side. That is not God's side. God gives us faith by giving us the Word. He gives us the Word to have faith. God will bring to pass the things that we believe and say. That's His part. Most people have it the opposite. They are trying to do God's part. They're trying to bring it to pass. They're trying to make things happen. And our job is to believe. Now, when we're talking about believing, you need to understand this. Believing is always in the present tense. Never in the future. Never in the past. It's always present tense. Always. And we'll explain. Now, one of the things I want to read from the Amplified Bible of this first verse, the Amplified Bible is really good because of its explanation concerning this. The Amplified Bible says, "Now faith is the assurance. It's the confirmation. It's the title deed of the things we hope for." Now, they use it here, confirmation or the title deed. The word here, faith is the assurance. Now faith is the assurance, or it's the confirmation. The assurance, that word assurance there is was actually a word used in the Greek, was a legal term used by lawyers for like property deeds and all that kind of stuff. It was an assurance. In other words, the title deed, the deed you hold to something, that was an assurance. It's just like you have a property, you have a deed to a property, or like a title to a car or something like that. The holder of the title owns the car, not just the person who drives it. A person can drive a car and the title's not in their name. Whoever holds a title holds a car. Like if a bank holds a title, I don't care how much you think that car is yours. You try to sell it without their title, you ain't going nowhere. See, whoever's the title holder. Now, you know what it says here? It says, now faith is, in other words, is the title holder. Faith is. And I want you to get this. Now faith is. Now faith is a title holder for the things that you hope for. And it says, we hope for, being the proof of the things we do not see. Now I want you to think about this. I could buy a piece of property in another state. I don't have to even go see it. I could call a realtor someplace and say, never even look at a piece of property, say, I understand this piece, but I want to go purchase that for me. I'll send you the money. You go purchase it. You go do it. And they'll send me a title. I hold that title. I have never seen that. I have never seen that property, never stepped foot on, never nothing. But I hold the title to it. And that title, I know that property's mine. Now, you need to understand, if you say you're believing for something, and you don't know you hold the title, you're trying to get it, you're not in faith. It ain't till you hold the title, till you know that it's yours. Faith is the title. If you're still waiting, if you're waiting to see something to believe it's yours, then you're not in faith. Faith, if you're waiting to see something, that isn't faith. That's not faith. See, you need to understand this. So I'm telling you, faith, we're dealing with the area of present tense. Faith deals with present. Faith must always be in present tense. In other words, now faith, and that's why I'm using now faith. In other words, I believe it's not faith. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for. The thing that I hope for, and hope is this. Hope is something that's looking to the future. Hope is always looking at the future. Hope's looking out there saying, well, I'd like to have, boy, this is what I want, or this one. Faith gets it for you. Faith don't get it for you someday. Faith must get it in the present tense for it to show up one day. Faith must always do it now. It cannot do it down the road. It's not. Then you're in the area of hope. You're still hoping for something out there. You need to have the title. And faith is the title. Faith is how we get, is the title. It's a proof of what we don't see. It's the conviction of their reality. This was in Amplified said. Faith receives, now listen, faith does what? Faith receives as real fact what is not revealed to the senses. First of all, faith receives. You can know this. If you haven't received it yet, and I'm talking about by faith, if you haven't received it by faith, it isn't yours yet. You don't have the title. Faith is we receive the title, we say it's ours before we ever see it or feel it. We say it's ours. So, this faith we're talking about here, so faith in your heart gives you the guarantee that what you're hoping for is going to happen. That what you're hoping for, that's okay, is going to take place. What you're hoping for is going to happen. Now, understand this. Faith receives it. Then it happens. This is most people. Most people want it to happen, and then they're going to receive it. Now I know it's mine when I see it happen. Remember, hope is toward the future. What you want to bring to pass. Faith brings to pass something in your future. If right now I believe for healing, my body's giving me trouble, and I believe for healing, so my faith is now. But I'm trying to bring, my healing's not in right now. It's when I act in faith, I'm bringing something to pass for happen in the future. Now, I don't want to wait 20 years down the future, but I want to bring it to pass. But faith brings that to pass. Faith cannot bring it to pass unless my faith is now. If I put faith out down here someplace down the road, well, then I don't own it yet. The title, I don't have it. Faith, I like the fact that they say here in the Amplified, it says, faith receives as a real fact. Faith receives as a real fact something belongs to me, whether I can see it or not. See, what is Mark 11, 24? You say to this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast in the sea, and don't doubt in your heart. But believe what you say is going to come to pass. It says, you'll have whatever you say. Now, you're going to have what you say when you received it over here by faith. Mark 11:24, he said, whatever things you desire when you pray, believe you receive them. Believe you receive. Actually, some translations actually say it correctly. Believe you have received. In other words, present tense. Believe you have received, present tense. If you haven't believed you received it at the time that you prayed, you're not going to get it. Because then you're still in hope, looking down the road for it, that when you see it, then you got it. That's not faith. Faith believes it's yours, present tense. That's what brings it to pass in the future. It can't come to pass till you believe it already belongs to you. Till present tense, right now. When I pray, I say it's mine, I have it, it belongs to me, I received it. Believe you receive and you'll have. Believe you receive and you'll have. You don't believe you received it, you will not have it. You must believe you've already received it. This is where most people fail. Right here is the failure of most people, because most people operate in hope and call it faith. And they wonder why it doesn't work, because they're moved by their senses. Well, I was prayed for, then why am I not healed? See, they have never operated. They don't believe they received. They walk up, somebody lays hands on, prays for them. They don't believe they received anything. They're still waiting to feel better. See, they're over in the area of hope. Say, well, did you get healed? Well, no, I didn't get healed. Well, sure, they don't believe. No, I believe I received it. How's your body feel? It doesn't matter how my body feels. That has nothing to do with faith. See, this is the hard thing it is, dealing with the areas of faith, because faith does not make any sense to the natural, senses. And if you're trying to operate the natural senses, you cannot operate in faith. You can't do it. It's impossible. You have to throw out these natural sense things. If you're trying to make natural sense of faith, you can't go there. There's no natural sense to it. Now, it makes perfectly good sense to me that I understand how it works. But naturally, it seems stupid. To the natural mind, it seems weird. So what you understand is we're receiving. We're operating in the present tense. Now, let's go back over to 1 John. Go back further into the Scriptures. The 1 John. And John clearly states it here. John clearly talks about this. In 1 John, the 5th chapter, 1 John the 5th chapter, John says this in verse 14. Now this is the confidence that we have in Him. Now remember we read over there about the confidence? Okay, this is confidence. You want to have confidence? That if we ask anything according to His will, well, what's His will? His Word. So I can say this. If I ask anything according to God's will or according to what His Word says, if I ask anything, He says, ask anything according to His Word, He hears us. You're supposed to have confidence that if I ask God anything according to what His Word says, He hears me. See, now we're dealing with the areas of faith. Yeah, but I don't feel like you heard me. I've heard people, well, yeah, I was praying, I feel like God heard me. I don't care what you feel like. Feel like don't mean anything happened. The devil can give you a feeling. Your mama can give you a feeling. You can turn around and have a good feeling. I've watched people, Christians, do things and say it gave them good feelings, and after a while things fell apart for them. Feelings ain't got a thing in the world to do with it. We're supposed to have the confidence, the fact that you're supposed to, as a Christian, when you ask God, when you go to God about your own personal life, now you can't just do this for everybody and his brother. He's talking about he's a Christian. You go to God, you ask God for something concerning your word, His Word. You're supposed to know, have the confidence to know that He hears you, that you're not trying to get God to hear you. Well, I'll tell you, it just don't seem like God's talking to me. Just don't seem like He's listening to me. I've heard people say, oh, it just seems like heaven's closed up. I don't care what it feels like. That has nothing to do with nothing. If I'm speaking to God according to His will, I'm supposed to be assured of this fact that He hears me. So whenever you're talking to God about His Word, God hears me. I tell you, I can't even fathom in my own mind that I would pray and God wouldn't be listening. I could if I'd just be talking my nonsense, but when I'm talking to God about what His Word says, I know without a shock. We're in communications with each other. We're talking. I'm supposed to know this, that He hears me. Now He says, and if we know that He hears us, now if you really knew that God heard you, here's what else you're supposed to know. Whatever we ask, if we know He hears Him, whatever we ask, we know that we have. Present tense. See that present tense? Faith is always in the present tense. It is never in the future. If we receive it in the present tense, we'll have it in the future. It'll come to pass for us. It will come. He said, if we have whatever we ask, we know that we have the petition we have asked of Him. We know we have it. You remember Mark 11:24? You believe you receive it, you'll have it. This is what John's talking about here, believing you receive it. You believe God heard you and gave it to you. See, most people, and 99% of Christians, believe God gave it to them when it showed up. That's unbelief. That is believing through seeing. That person has never been in faith. That's why I found over the years people sometimes had a hard time with me because of things of, you know, I've probably been believing God for something for a long time, and it comes to pass and happens. I'm not really greatly excited about it because I knew it was going to happen. Why on earth? These people get all blown out. The reason they get all blown out, God probably did it by mercy, but they weren't probably believing a thing about it. It came to pass, and they're shocked. They're shocked it happened. We shouldn't be shocked it happened. We should be the people walking around saying it's going to happen. If that person was in faith, they were should have been walking around saying, that is going to come to pass. That's going to happen. I've received it. It's mine. It belongs to me. It's going to come to pass. I already got it. It belongs to me. And they think it's weird. Why? Because they live out of their senses. They live out of the sense realm. They live by what they see and what they feel and everything else. And then they talk about faith, but really it's not faith at all. It doesn't deal in the areas of faith. Faith is always in the present tense. If you grasp a hold of that and get that fact of faith in the present tense, I mean, it will go so far to help you understand. See, we receive it now. Faith receives. That's what faith. If you haven't received it yet, you haven't operated in faith. You receive it. You receive it. You know, it's just like I all the time, you know, we do things like order things. I go online and I order something and that's to pay for it. It don't show up. I go tell everybody I bought such and such. Man, I ain't even got it yet. But I tell people that belongs to me. We come over to the Bible. Somebody tells you to do something like that. Well, that's weird. We don't do that. That's craziness. If they do it all the time in the natural and they do it, run around and tell people things belong to them and they ain't even got it yet. You know? I have a document that says $10,000 is coming to me. And I ain't got it yet, but I got $10,000. I have a document that says so. I ain't seen a nickel of it yet, but $10,000 is coming to me. I mean, I have a literal document from a lawyer that says that $10,000 is coming to me. So, I mean, but I don't see it. I don't run around and tell people, no, I ain't got it. No. No, I say it's mine. Why? I have the deed to it. I have the document to that. So this is not weird stuff. What is weird is how people think when they get over to God. Well, that's what's weird. Christianity's really been weird. They talk about faith, but generally most of Christians are taught to really believe what you see, believe what you feel. They don't understand at all about what it means to actually believe you receive something before you have it. They have no clue. When most people talk about faith, it amazes me that most born-again people got born again. It amazes me. It does amaze me. I think God gets a lot of people saved just by, oh, whatever, I don't know. They have no concept of faith. When they talk about faith, they don't have the concept. And you must need, and like with this here, this believing and receiving, you have to get a hold of this if you want to understand how to walk by faith. This principle, believing you receive it, and then you'll have it. That's the biggie. Because most people never enter that part. They're trying to stand like Abraham. See, the Bible tells us what Abraham received. He received the promise of God, it said. See, he received that as true. He received that as something that belonged to him. That he had the title to that because God promised it, so therefore it was going to be true. That's why he could stand. This is why people can't stand, because they've never received it. So they walk around waiting to see it. So I don't understand why, you know, things aren't improving, or why this isn't happening, or why that. And they're saying, and the reason they are is because they've never received anything yet. They have no assurance of anything. They don't hold the title. I know when I believe I received something. I know when I believed I received it. When I believed I received it, I can tell you what I'm going to start doing next. I'm going to start acting like that's true, like I got it, it's mine. I'm going to start doing that. See, once I believe I received something, then I'm going to start having to act that out. I'm going to have to start doing what the Word of God says, in living or walking in line with whatever the Word of God says that I believed I received. If I believed I received it, I need to start act like that. So, number one, you know, if you believe you received something, you believe something good, you believe you receive it, it would be nice if you've got a smile on your face, thanking God, glory to God, I got it. Hallelujah, it's good. and start to act in line with it. You know, I think Oral Roberts used to say a thing, you know, he'd say, you know, do something you couldn't do before. Or, you know, in other words, begin to act in the direction that you believe that something is yours, that you have it. You know, I know just sometimes in praying for people, and you've heard me say this many times, but people still don't get it. When people come to be prayed for, you know, lay hands on them and pray for them, and they walk away in silence. Don't say a thing. Praise God. I'd be saying, thank you, Lord, I'm healed. Thank God the healing power of God that went into me. I'm getting better. I'm getting better. You know, and it's the whole thing. Well, they don't. They walk away in silence. They walk away not saying a thing, you know. And really, it's a sign of unbelief. It's a sign of acting like I didn't get anything. See, I didn't get my title. I didn't believe I received anything at that time there. Well, do you feel better? Well, I don't know. I don't know. Do I feel better? Well, what if you don't feel better? What are you going to do? What you going to do? You don't feel better. Well, I'll tell you what you're going to do. If you haven't been activated in faith, you ain't going to feel better tomorrow, the next day, the next day, the next day. So it's just going to keep going on. It's one thing is acting in line with the Word. Begin to act like what you received is true. Receive it. And I bet if you start checking, you'll find that this is really is the area that people have had the most difficulty in, is because they're trying to walk by faith when they have never even started on its road. They've never even started out on it. They believe that they're believing God, but according to their mind, not according to what the Word says. Faith is always acting in the present tense. It believes it receives something. I know some years ago, and I know sometimes we had people come in and teach it, and sometimes ministering to people would say to people, now, we're going to pray for you today. Now, if nothing changes, what you begin to do is start saying, you know, I had hands laid on me and such a date. That's when I believed I received my healing. I believed I received it then. See, most people don't. They'll come back. They're trying to get healed again tomorrow. They're trying to get healed again the next day. They never find a place where they actually took the title of their healing. They never did that. They never took that. They never believed God gave it to them. They're still, because why? They don't feel better, so God didn't give it to me. What good is the promises of God to be yes and amen if God hasn't given them to us? If I can't believe at the time that I, you know, ask Him for it that He gives it to me. I have to believe sometime down the road, when's He going to do it? How are you going to operate in faith when you don't know when He would give it to you, when He would? See, I could only operate in faith on the day that He would say, okay, I'm going to let you have that now. So that's the only day. Because up until that time, I have no basis to believe that He's going to do it for me. I have no basis of faith. So we have to do that. We have to come over in the area and begin to understand this present tense. It's one of the things that really helped me that Kenneth Hagin had taught is when he taught on the present tense, talked about faith now. My faith, this is by my part. See, my part is not to bring it to pass. And this is the wonderful thing. When you learn this, when you learn how this operates, what it does, it takes the pressure off of us. See, this seems like people think this side's hard. It's not hard. This is the easy side because, number one, you don't have the power to heal you. At least the last time I checked, I don't. So anyhow, it's God. So whether it's healing or whatever it is to bring to pass, whether it's money you need to do something or whatever you need God's help on, we believe at the present tense we receive it. Now it's God's job to bring that to pass. God brings it to pass. See, the person who is over in the area always looking for it, they're trying to always make this thing happen. It's my job to go search out this thing. And they're always laboring and working. These people are worn out people. No wonder so many people that talk about life of faith is hard. They never lived a life of faith. It is hard when you try to be a Christian without God. It's hard. And it's walking by faith is an easy thing because we believe we receive something and then God could do it. Just think. If I don't walk in faith, He can't get in motion. No matter how much He loves me, and He's doing His best. It's like Jesus told Kenneth Hagin in a vision. He said, I try to bless my people as much as I can. In other words, Jesus is always trying to bless His people. And when people aren't operating in faith, they're keeping Him. He's trying to bless them, but we're keeping Him from blessing us. Why? Because we don't believe we received it. Whatever it is, we didn't receive it yet. We have to wait till when He does it, then I'll believe it. When He does it, then I'll believe. See, the Thomas thing. I don't believe none of this stuff. I ain't believing in this thing. No, not until I can touch Him. See, the blessing, if you want the blessing comes through the believing. If Thomas would have said, yep, you guys saw him, well then Jesus is alive. Hallelujah. See, Thomas would have been blessed. Thomas wasn't a happy camper. He wasn't a happy guy. Just by the way he talked. Jesus showed up. Then all of a sudden he got happy when Jesus showed up. Well, he could have been happy the whole time. You think he'd have been glad. His friends came and told him, Jesus is alive. No, I don't believe that. I wonder what happened to him when he went out and preached to people. If they'd all act like he did. We don't believe nothing you said, Thomas. But get over the things, and I encourage you to meditate on these things. If you get over to, and you want revelation, ask the Holy Spirit to teach you these things about operating in the present when you believe. Because that's what you have to be. Faith is always in the present tense. And just like Abraham believed God, when God told him the promise, that's what he believed. He believed God was going to do that. God said, you know, change his name from Abram to Abraham. He went right along with it. Went around and started calling himself a father of multitude. My God, you know, he's a father of multitude. God changed his name. He's running around. He's an old man with an old woman. They ain't produced nothing. And he's walking around calling himself by those things. You know, but see, that's the thing. When he believed he received something, that's how he stood for 25 years till it came to pass. If he hadn't received it, he could have never stood. And it never happened. It never came to pass. His job wasn't to bring it to pass. It was God's. He couldn't cause him and his wife to produce. They was old people. They weren't going to produce nothing. They couldn't do that. But they could believe God could do that. And they believed God was going to do it because he promised. And that's it. That's going to happen. I got it. It's my title. I own that one. That one's mine. Why? Because if God doesn't do it, he's a liar. If God has promised and he doesn't do it, he would be a liar. It's just that simple. And see, religion has built this religion around their unbelief and say, well, sometimes God does and sometimes he don't. God has his reasons and blah, blah. And really what it is about the people's unbelief. It's about unbelief. People, you know, and I understand why these things go on, because people are not taught how faith works. All they know is have the Christian lingo about faith. You say, well, what's faith? That's trusting God. What does it mean to trust God? What do people mean when they say to trust God? That could mean anything under the sun for most people to call what the word trust means. We need to trust God. How do I trust God? The Bible tells me how I trust God, how to do it. I trust him by believing what his word says, and then when I ask for it, I believe I receive it. It's mine, I have it. It belongs to me now. That promise belongs to me. Once I believe it belongs to me, it has to come to pass. Once I believe it belongs to me, there is no way that it's not going to happen for me. It's going to come to pass. It has to. Because I believe I received it. I believe it's done. It's mine. I have the title to it. It belongs to me. So, you know, it's a thing. I mean, you wouldn't let somebody walk up and take your car and walk off and say, no, this car is mine, belongs to me, and you'd stand there. Well, I have a title, but I thought this belonged to me. I thought this was, oh, maybe it is yours. Well, we wouldn't do something that dumb, but yet with the Word of God we do. With the Word of God, we let people, we let the devil, and everybody's talk us right out. Say, no, the promise stands. God said it's mine. I believe I have it. I believe it belongs to me. Once I receive the title of it and I believe in my heart and don't doubt that it belongs to me, it's going to come to pass. It has to. That's my job. My job is not to make it happen. My job is to believe it belongs to me, that it's mine. That's my job. Now, if I believe I receive it, then he says, then I'll have it. He didn't say I would have it when it showed up. It is mine. I hold the title. See, that's where you go from hope. Everybody has, you know, you have hopes. There's things that you start off with, and man, you see, and I mean, I want this changed. I like this, or I want, this is a direction I want to go. Well, you have to come to the place to find the promise of God and stand on and receive that promise. The promise, that thing. Then it can start to come to pass. But that hope will never start to come to pass. Never will set in motion to come to pass until I believe I receive it. I have the title to it. And my faith is the title. Your faith is the title. See, if the devil comes along and says something, say, I don't care how I feel or what things look like. I hold the title to it. It belongs to me. I hold the title to my healing. I believed I received it. I got the title to it. I believe my heart and I don't doubt it. It's mine. I hold the title. It has to come to pass. You know, heaven and hell, ain't going to stop that thing from going. God ain't going to work to stop it. And the devil, if he wants to, he can just get away and get run over by the bus. I don't care. Whatever he wants. But it's going to come to pass. And he's going to get run down standing in the way of it. But he'll get run over. It's mine. It has to come to me. Because I hold the title. Faith is my title. My title is not seeing it. That's not your title. Seeing it, feeling it, is not your title. That's no sign of ownership in the realm of the Spirit. No sign of ownership. I've watched people prayed for, felt great at the time, and in a short period of time, they were back in the mess they were in before. Well, wow, they had no ownership to it. What they got us from somebody else. But they couldn't hold on to it. They didn't have the title. When you got the title, it's yours. That's why faith. Faith. Once you got the title of it, you can hold it, no matter what anybody else says or does. You don't need anybody else to come along and try to, you know, has to join. You don't need a crowd to go join and pray. If you can get a hold of it with your own spirit and believe it, you can have it. You got the title to it. Everybody else could say anything that they want to say about it, but you're the owner of it. Hallelujah. And God will see to it that you have the ownership. He'll see to it that it shows up for you. And so get over in the present tense your faith. Your faith belongs in the present tense. And God will bring what you hope for to pass. He'll bring what you hope for to pass. That's what He does. When you believe you receive it, then you will have it. It comes to you after you get the title to it. Then it comes to you. Is that pretty clear? See, I hope you understand that. If you get a hold of that, and it, because it operates outside the natural. The natural senses, everybody, you know, today, everybody operates over what they can see about things and stuff. That isn't how that works. It works on the areas of you believe you got the title. Your faith is the title to whatever it is that God's promised to you. And you stand on it. It has to come to you. It's an impossibility. I have never had one time in my entire Christian life when I have stood in faith and when I knew I had the title that it didn't come to pass. Never one time. I've never had one time. When I knew I had the title... And I know without a doubt I got the title of something. Lots of times what I don't do is I don't necessarily go after something very quickly. If I'm going to go after something a little large, I usually make sure I'm staying where I'm standing and make sure in my heart where I'm going with this thing. And then I'll make my stand. But once I got the title to it, it's. It's happening. It's coming. It's mine. What my hope was in the future is going to be landing right in my lap. Why? Because I hold the title to it. The devil does. If I'm standing with faith in my heart, and I haven't moved on, I believe I've received it. The devil cannot keep it from me. He can't do that. It's impossible for him to do. Why? Because it always is going to come to the ownership of the one who owns it. That is a spiritual law. Satan can't stop it. And if God tries to stop it, he's as bad as the devil. He's not going to try to stop it. He's the one who told us to do it. But that's spiritual law. That is spiritual law. And you need to understand that what spiritual law are not like men's laws. Men's laws, sometimes people obey them or don't obey them or don't care less or whatever else. Sometimes they're enforced, sometimes they're not enforced. Ain't that way with God's laws. God's laws are enforced. You fall into God's law. Jesus didn't say, yeah, you save this mountain. And, you know, sometimes they move and sometimes they don't. Sometimes, you know. You operate in these laws will work every time. They'll work. The law of faith, there's no doubt. You're operating in the kingdom of God. Satan will come and try to oppose you, and the only opposition, he wants to move you away from faith in your heart. That's the only thing he's trying to do. Get you to move from faith in your heart. Get you to quit believing it belongs to you. It's yours, that you have the title. He wants you to turn the title over to him. And many times that's what people do. Here you go. Yeah, you take the title. And he walks off with their stuff. You hold the title. He can't change it. He has no way of changing it as long as you hold the title. It's coming to pass. It has to. See, to me, that's the most wonderful thing about it. The most wonderful thing about it. This faith thing works. Anybody tells me I stood in faith and it didn't work, I can look them in the eye and say, look, you're lying. I know it. You're lying. Because if it didn't work, Jesus Christ himself is a liar. He's not Savior of the world then. He can't be Savior of the world. It's an impossibility. So you got to be settled. This is how you know you get over there. You got to get settled in yourself. Is the Word of God true? Is it it? See, many people say, I believe the Bible's true, but they have loads of doubts. You got to come down. The Bible says it. There is not another opinion. I don't need another opinion on it. The Bible said it is true. I know that it's true. That settles it. Then I can stand on it. I can take it as my title. Belongs to me. It's mine. Hallelujah. I don't know if it's good news for you, but it's good news for me. Hallelujah. God's word will come to pass for anyone. You don't have to be a brilliant rocket scientist or anything like that. All you got to do is believe you receive it. That ain't hard to do, and you don't have to be a genius to figure that one out. You can do that. Hallelujah. Father, we just thank you tonight for your wondrous word. And Father, these things we need really, Lord God, to be put into our hearts and get these comprehensions of these things, Lord God, that are being shared here tonight by the Spirit of God. Father, we desire to walk in the light of this truth. Lord God, so many have been hindered. So many, Lord God, have not comprehended these things or understood these things. But I thank you, Father God, that in these last days, I thank you we're going to step into a greater glory, a greater comprehension, and a greater understanding of these truths, Lord God. We're going to be able to walk in them and live in them, Lord God. Father, that your will and your plans and your purposes for humanity can be carried out. Jesus Christ will be glorified and magnified. We thank you for all that you're going to do. In Jesus' name, amen.